Thanks for tuning in to New Life Sermon Series Online. If you're blessed by these messages and are interested in helping spread the Word of God to others, make an investment today. You can give at newlifechurchsf.org. If you have a story or a testimony to share, let us know on our website as well. We hope you have a blessed day and enjoy today's message by Pastor Alex.
Well, today we're beginning a new series called Be Rich. And it's a series about money. And I know that people get funny when you talk about money. But and some of you who are new here today, or maybe you've been coming to church and you're saying, Pastor, why do pastors talk so much about money? And my answer to you is simple. First of all, here at New Life Church, we talk about money once a year, probably in the summer, so you just came to the right time. But the reason people talk a lot about money is because Jesus talked a lot about money. Did you know that Jesus talked about money more than any other subject other than the kingdom of God? For example, Jesus talked more about money than heaven and hell. Jesus talked more about money than prayer and fasting. Jesus talked more about money than he talked about poor people. Jesus talked more about money, are you ready for this? Then he talked about love. No, Pastor. You're making me angry right now. I went to Sunday school. I know about money. And Jesus was totally not about money. Then read the Gospels, read the Bible, and you realize that Jesus talked about money more than about any subject, even love. Although I believe Jesus is love, he talked a lot about money. And if you think about it, Jesus was not poor. Here's what a lot of people falsely believe, because I think of the false church theology, is that Jesus was a poor guy. But if you think about it, when he was born, the kings or the wise men brought him what? Three gifts. Not the first one. First one was gold, myrrh, frankincense. Thank you. Right, you know it. Wow, awesome church. How much gold did they bring Jesus? Was it like a little pouch of gold? Or was it a box full of bars of gold? Think about it. When God sent Jesus on the earth, he did not send him to with no money or no provision. Because whatever God does, he always provides for. Amen? That's why in this church, we've never had problem with money. Because this is God's plant, and he always provided. We've never had a debt. We've never had to, because God always provided. Now, how much money was it? Can I tell you that was enough money to live at least 7 years? Do you remember Herod found out that Jesus, the next king of the Jews, is born, and he wanted to kill Jesus? So Joseph had to quit his business. He was a carpenter, take his family and run away into Egypt, and they had to live there at least 7 years. How? This is a different language. Jews and Egyptians were not on the best terms like they are not today. Because God provided for him. Later on in Jesus' ministry, you got to understand that people say Jesus was poor, but if you look at Jesus' ministry, it employed 12 men. Some of those 12 men were formerly businessmen. He had to pay their salary. It would be irresponsible for Jesus to ask these men to follow him and abandon their family. Do you remember that Judas, one of the disciples, was carrying an offering box? And can I present to you the idea that that offering box was always full? How do I know that? Well, Jesus talked more about money than anything else. And when you are performing miracles, if you're preaching things, people go, I got goosebumps. When you have 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 people listening to you, when you feed 5,000 men plus women and children, what do people naturally do? Give. So the box that Judas carried was so full that although Judas was stealing from that box, remember that? Nobody noticed. If you have $100 and somebody takes 80, you notice. Nobody ever noticed. Jesus knew that intuitively, spiritually, he knew that Judas was a thief. But nobody else knew because money was not their problem. Ooh. I'm breaking some religious strongholds. See, some people say, well, if you're poor, then you could be spiritual. That's not true. In the Bible, you have poor people who are spiritual, and you have poor people who are evil and twisted. In the Bible, you have rich people who are very spiritual, and you have rich people who are very wicked and evil. So money is not what makes a person evil. Money is neutral, just like fire. Just like a knife, it's neutral. It's what you do with it. So, Pastor, why did Jesus talk so much about money? And I'm going to test you on that. I'm going to go on Google tonight, and I'm going to make sure you tell him the truth. Okay, go ahead. Maybe I'll have you read your Bible, since I'm talking about money, and money will make you do things. The reason Jesus talked about money is here. Here it is. Because money has such an effect on our heart. A lot of times we say we love God more than anything. And Jesus says, prove it. And when it comes to money, that's where we get stuck. That's where all of us get stuck. Amen? So that's why we're going to talk about money. But here's the thing. I'm not going to be here talking about the offering so you can give more to the church. That's not my goal. My goal is so you would know to have the right relationship with your money, so you would manage your money well. And we're starting classes on July 5th, Money Makeover classes by Dave Ramsey. And those classes helped us so much. I remember, here's my personal story, not theory, personal story. Personal story is that started a business when I was 17 years old and was making a lot of money, but I was always broke. And the more money we made, later we got married, the more money we made, the more broke we became. And it's not that God didn't bless us, because you know some of us are like, God bless us financially. It's not that God didn't bless us, because I have a book, a blue book, and in it I recorded everything since 1996 that we've made. And if I look at that book, it's always higher and higher and higher. And we were always broker and broker and broker. For 10 years of our marriage we were broke. And the truth is, we were tithers. We gave and we were broke. And God told me, it's not what you, the 10%, it's what you do with the 90 that will determine how. And see, a lot of people think, if I can make more, I can give more, I can save more. That's not true. The more you make, the more broke you will become. So when you are making $20,000, you have a $5,000 credit card. When you're making $200,000, you have a $150,000 credit card. Ooh, you see the difference? And so God pointed us and he said, there's wisdom in those books. Read them. Because I would pray. I was like, God, what's up? Is your word doesn't work? We tithe. You said you'll bless us. And God says, look, did I bless you? Yeah. It's not me, he said. It's you. You're foolish with your money. And so that's why we want to help you. And here's one more thing. Money causes so much stress on marriages, on relationship. Money is the biggest, the reason people get divorced and abuse happens and everything. So God wants you to control and know how to manage your money. And this series, if you come Sunday and Wednesday, I'm telling you, it can change your life. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Debt free. That's what we want. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Now, today my topic is, it's called this way. Are you rich? That's my topic. Are you rich? Financially, I mean. If I were to ask you a question, how many of you here are rich financially? How many of you would raise your hand? You heard the first message. Stop it. Notice nobody raised their hand. But are you rich? How do you know you're rich? What's the magic number that determines if a person is rich or not? Let me ask you another question. It's not a trick question. Do you know a rich person? How many of you know a rich person? Raise your hand. Come on, you know a rich, at least one rich person. Wow, there's a lot more hands. That's cool, thank you. Some of you are here already objecting and saying, Pastor, I don't care about being rich. I just want to be comfortable. I got you too. Well, how much do you need to be comfortable? I got an answer for it. I'm just asking. They did a study, and they have a study for everything these days. They did a study and found out that people who are making $30,000 a year said, if I only made $60,000 a year, I would be comfortable. I would be satisfied. They did another study and found out, the same study, people who made $60,000 a year said, if we made $120,000, we'd be comfortable. See the moving target? People who made $120,000 said, if we only made $250,000, we would be comfortable, and on and on and on. So being rich is actually a moving target. You'll never get there. Here's another thing that I found out, a crazy statistic, that if you are making $32,400 a year, if you're making $32,400 a year, you are in the top 1% of the richest people in the world today. You know, we hate those one percenters, Occupy Wall Street one percenters. But if you're making $32,000 a year, you are in the one top richest people in the world. Do your research, people. Go on Google and find this out. So according to that statistic, most of us are rich. I'm going somewhere. Most of us, and for a family, it's $42,000. If you make $42,000 for your family, you are in top 1% of families in the world. Huh. Being rich. I want to read something today. Let's read 1 Timothy 6:17. And watch this. Paul writes, look at me first. Paul writes to his young protege named Timothy. So Paul did this. He goes and plants a church. He appoints one of the pastors named Timothy. Timothy is a young guy. And then Paul leaves, starts another church somewhere else. Paul was an apostolic, had an apostolic gift. So he couldn't sit in one place for too long. The most Paul stayed in one church was 2 years. He was not a pastor. He was an apostle. He was there to go plant and move on, establish and move on. And so he writes, he moves on, but he writes to Timothy and he says something that I don't see it a lot in the Bible. He says, command those who are rich. Whoa. So if Paul is writing to me today as a pastor of this church, I'm like Timothy. Timothy pastored Ephesian church. I'm pastoring New Life Church in Sioux Falls, Sioux Falls in church. Okay, I'm pastoring Sioux Falls in church. So if Paul would say, command those who are rich. Whoa, you don't command rich people. They command everybody. You don't command rich people. How dare you? So what is Paul saying to Timothy? Timothy, stop being afraid. Timothy, Josh, Timothy. What is Paul saying to Timothy? He says, don't be afraid to command rich people. Whoa, Timothy's like, I bet you Timothy wrote to Paul about rich people. He's like, those rich people in church, man, who do they think they are? How do I deal with them, Paul? How do I deal with these rich people? And Paul says, you know what? This is how you deal with them. Command them. Nowhere in the Bible it says to command the poor. Why does he do that? I think he's shock value. How do I say it? Shock value? Like shocking them, like, hey, I'm commanding you something. And they're like, what? You, preacher? Commanding me? You know how much money I make? But Paul says, don't be afraid. And here's what I get out of it. Don't be afraid to tell rich people, because they don't know it all. Okay? And they think they do. There's a lot of us here, though, so I think we're stepping on our own toes here. Command those who are rich in this present world. Notice, he didn't say in your church. In the present world. Command those who are rich, not in your church. See, sometimes we want to say, well, according to my group of people, I'm not rich. But according to the world statistics, you are rich. So what does he say to command them in this world? Not to be arrogant. Here's a trap of being rich. You become arrogant. Help me out. Nor to put their hope in their wealth. Another trap of being rich, you start putting your hope into your wealth. I'll explain that in a minute. Which is so uncertain. Wealth, listen, is so uncertain. But to put their hope in God, where it's really belong. Your hope belongs in God, not in your wealth. Who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Verse 18. Again. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. According to the statistic, most of us here today is probably somewhere in the rich category. If your family makes 40 plus thousand a year, you're rich. You're 1%. If you are making 32,000 a year, you are rich. Top 1% in the world. But here's the problem. Being rich has side effects. Have you ever seen a rich person and you wondered, what the heck is wrong with them? Who do they think they are? Telling everybody what to do. Who do they think? And you wonder, have they always been this weird? Are they weird because they're rich? Were they rich and now were they weird? Were they normal and then became rich and now they're weird? What is wrong with them? Why do they act the way they do? Who do they think they are? Being rich has side effects. Here's side effect number one. You ready for this? Rich people live in denial. This is strange, right? Because tall people admit that they are tall. Short people, skinny people, chubby people, chubby, well, healthy, right? Extroverts immediately will tell you they're extroverts. You don't have to ask. Introverts, they'll admit they're introverts. Have you noticed it's hard for you to admit that you're rich? Not one of you. When I said how many of you are here are rich, not one of you, except you, you don't count right now because you heard the message already, raised your hand. I was expecting a couple maybe over there somewhere saying, honey, praise God we're rich. Didn't even know it, we're rich. But none of you were really enthusiastic about it. Nobody here admitted that they were rich. Another study. Let me just tell you about another study. Money Magazine did a study. And I don't read Money Magazine, so I heard about that. Did a study, and they asked their subscribers, they said, hey, what would it take for you to be rich? How much assets would you need to possess in order to be consider yourself rich? And you know what most people said? $5 million. Wow. You're looking at me like weird. Well, hold on. So if you had $1 million in assets, you're not rich. $2 million? Three? Four and a half? No, I'm not rich. And I bet you if you ask the guy who has $5 million in assets and you ask them, are you rich? No, I'm not rich. Because rich people live in denial. Here's the inconvenient truth. Rich people often measure themselves based on what they don't have instead of based on what they have. And God wants us to measure ourselves based on what we do have than what we don't have. There's always going to be something you don't have. And if you can keep chasing it, it keeps growing. Amen. A grateful person looks at what they have and are thankful. And sometimes a rich person, $32,400 rich a year, measures themselves on what they don't have. And that's why they don't consider themselves rich. Here's another truth. Well, let me ask you a question first before I tell you this truth. How many of you know of a rich person? I already asked that, right? Okay, you know, more of you raised your hand. Here's another truth, though. No one is rich here. I mean, at least in the beginning, nobody raised their hand. Other than you, honey. But we all know somebody who is rich. So who are these rich people that we know? Are they here in our church today? You see where I'm going with this? So my question to you today, are you rich? And here's why none of you jumps up even now again. You're awkwardly chuckling. And here's why nobody raised their hand, because you don't feel rich. And because you don't feel rich, you're not practicing being rich. And that word, you say, does not apply to me. And the devil, here's what he wants to do. He wants to make you believe that there's some magic number that's always moving, that if you get there, you'll be rich. But think about yourself about 10 years ago, 5 years ago. How much more do you make now than you did 5 years ago? And you said, if only I had that, I would be. And you started promising the universe or God, or if you're a believer and you promised God, if you're not a believer, you promised the universe, if I only become rich, I'll give. Right. Here's the truth, or a lie, is that the rich people don't give more when they become rich. They actually give less percentage-wise. Did you know that poor people give more percentage-wise than rich people? That's why Jesus, when he was watching people put money, and there was a woman who gave like 2 pennies or 25 cents, whatever she gave, he said she gave more. Because God doesn't care how much you give. He cares what percentage you give. God is all about percentages. If you look at the Bible, God is about percentages, not how much. So a rich person, and it says there, they would bring a bunch of coins and they would drop it, but that would be like 0.5%. And God says, I'm not impressed with that. Although it's a lot of money, but I'm not impressed because you're giving less now. God does percentages. Now, number two, and what did I say? Being rich has side effects, right? Side effect number two, rich people are afflicted with discontentment. See, accumulating wealth, getting money is like an appetite. The more you feed your appetite, the more that appetite grows. Guys, you don't have to admit this, but if you ever dabbled in pornography when you were a teenager or whatever, you know this. The more you look at that stuff, the more it arises your appetite. And before you know it, I've talked to people who can't control it anymore. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in book of Song of Solomon, it says, do not awaken love before its time, because you can awaken a beast that you cannot control. You're not mature enough. See, the same thing with money. When we think the more stuff we have, the more satisfied we will be. But the truth is opposite. The more stuff a person has, the bigger the appetite for more stuff arises in them. Quiet in this church. I know. That's okay. See, the thing about rich people is rich people like to upgrade things. Have you noticed rich people, and maybe you know somebody like that, they have a 3-year-old car, and they got a raise at work. Do you think they start giving first? What do the rich people do? We upgrade. I've been driving Toyota Camry. Well, now I got a raise. I'm going to drive a Lexus. And now I have no money to be generous with. So rich people love to update. So we take our perfectly good car that drives, air conditioning still works. Your first set of tires haven't been wore out yet. You take a bunch of money with you. You drive that car to a dealership. You give the dealership your car and some money, and they give you another car. And you drive out feeling guilty. Right? That's what rich people do. Here's another thing rich people do. They go into their closet, and they look inside that closet. Ladies, help me out. And they say, I got nothing to wear. Well, the closet is like, the thing is like bowing down. But then what rich people do, and that's not you, that's your neighbor maybe, but not you. And then what another thing rich people do, they, to make themselves feel better, they grab a bunch of that clothes and they donate it to charity. And then they go and buy some more stuff. They feel good, but they buy more. Another thing rich people do, let me just tell you, they come into their kitchen and they said, well, every 10 years you have to remodel, right? So they look at their countertops and refrigerators and microwaves and dishwashers, and they said, well, it's been 10 years. We gotta what? Upgrade. And so they tear perfectly good stuff. That dishwasher, you haven't been using because you eat out all the time. So the dishwasher has about 30 hours on it, and you're taking it out and putting a new one in, because that's what rich people do. Rich people are not content. Let me just tell you that. What they do is, when they hear the new iPhone comes out, they take their old iPhone and accidentally drop it sometimes. Now they have to buy a new one. Then they go and stand in line, and rich people hate standing in line. They go stand in line all night. They take the picture with the old iPhone that works perfectly, and they get iPhone S. They had the 6 or 7, but then now they get the S added to it. Rich people love to upgrade. Am I talking about somebody here today? Don't admit it, huh? So Paul says in Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. Command is a strong word, and I think he means it when he says it, command. So if Paul was talking to me today, guess what he would say? Command those in your church who are rich not to be arrogant. So I guess I'm going to practice what I, preach. Hey, I'm commanding you all, stop being arrogant, okay? With your money. All right, second thing, what else? Stop putting your hope in your wealth. Great Americans, stop putting your hope in your wealth. That's a command. I'm just following the Bible. That's what I'm doing. Now, arrogant, Paul understood that once you start having more than you can use, the next thing would happen is the arrogance would start creeping in. Have you noticed money goes to people's heads sometimes? A lot of times? They start acting like they're better. They start acting like they're smarter. Just because you're rich, it doesn't mean you're better or smarter. It just means maybe you were there first, and that's why you are rich. I know a lot of rich people who don't have a college education. I know a lot of people who didn't even finish high school, and they're rich. They're super rich. And it doesn't make your IQ go higher. It doesn't make you better. You just make more money. God has gifted you with an ability. It's a gift. So how dare you say I'm rich? It's like saying I'm beautiful. Just because you won, people say that in the world. I'm just repeating. Just because you won a genetic lottery and now you're super pretty or super good looking, it doesn't mean you can brag and say, look how good looking I am. If you could do what I do, you can be good looking as I am. No, that's not how it works. You got blessed with that, so stop being arrogant with it. God has given you a gift and ability to understand money. Stop being proud about it. It's not you, it's God. He's given you the brilliant mind that you have, or business mind that you have, or whatever mind that you have. Begin to thank Him. And He says, stop being arrogant and stop putting your hope in your wealth. But, which is so uncertain, and wealth is so uncertain, but put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So God says, your hope was never meant to be placed in riches. Your hope was always meant to be placed in God, who gives riches. Who gives riches. Don't put your hope in a gift. Put your hope in a giver. That's good. That's it. That's what he's saying. You were just one step away from being right. Don't put your hope, because see, money is a neutral thing. It's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing. It's neutral. It's what you do with it. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Money is not evil. If you're good, your money will be good. If you're evil, your money will be evil. That's it. That's it. So he says, don't be arrogant. Number two, he says, don't put your hope in it. Andy Stanley says this, money has a way of shifting our hope. Okay? So watch this. We come to God as Christians. Maybe we're broke and we need God. And then we start getting some money. And guess what money, secretly, it's not malicious. It's a money has a way of shifting. It sneaks up on you. You don't see it coming. Has a way of shifting your hope from God into itself, money. You don't see it coming. As your lifestyle increases, your hope begins to shift to your riches. Guys, this is 2,000 years ago and so true today. As soon as you start making more money, now you don't need God. You have a boat. And when do you go boating? When is the only time you have boat? You can go boating? Sunday? 9:30 or 11? Had to plug that one in there, okay? Right? You buy toys, and now you feel guilty because you have these toys parked in your garage and you don't even use them. And when do you use them? The only time you have to use them is when you're not making money, and that's during God time. Amen? And so Paul says, don't put your hope. If you find yourself putting Sunday off to go play, and I'm not against, guys, listen, I love vacations. They have a right place in your life. But if your toys begin to steal your time from God, you have accidentally, maybe, not on purpose, you have shifted your hope into your wealth. And now you're worshiping your wealth, not God who gave that wealth to you. And I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm to you. Because we all struggle with this. If we're not careful, our hope will be shifted into our money. So Paul says, Timothy, warn the rich people. Warn them. There's a danger of being rich. Is you start transferring your hope from God to your wealth. Here's what Proverbs 18:11 says. We're going to read it in two translations. The wealth of the rich, Solomon is the wisest man in the world. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They imagine. Underline that word, imagine, in your head or in your Bible. They imagine, it's not real. They imagine it a wall too high to scale. So here's what rich people believe about money. That money, if you have enough money, it could become a wall. Remember, around the city, the cities, they used to build walls. Why? To protect themselves from the enemy. If you're not careful, you'll start thinking that money becomes your wall. Let me read another translation. Guys, if we can put another one. The rich think of their wealth as a strong defense. And rightly so. I mean, I remember growing up in the age of O.J. Simpson, and I didn't really watch the trial, but I heard people at work talk about it, and they always said, if you have enough money, you can get away with anything, even murder. Now, I'm not saying he did it, or God only knows, but he was convicted. No, he was acquitted. Acquitted, thank you. He was acquitted, convicted again later, okay, for sticking somebody up with the gun. But the righteousness of God, the justice of God is working. But and so I started thinking to myself as a young person, I started saying, well, if I could just have enough money, I could protect myself. Right. And if you're not careful, and if you trace your thoughts of why you need more money, and you'll find out that it's your safety net. Right. Why is it that our attitude, why is it that our anger arises, frustration arises when our bank account falls below a certain amount of money? Because that's a sign, guys. We have put our hope in our wealth. It shifted, and we didn't even know it. I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm just saying if you're not careful, that's one of the pitfalls of wealth. It makes you think. And now rich people say, who is God? You remember that? David says, do not give me riches. Do not give me poverty. Give me just enough. So I wouldn't say in my heart, who is the Lord? I don't need him anymore. I got money. I don't need God. I don't need relationships. I don't need people. I got money, and money is power, and I can do whatever I want, right? The rich think of their wealth as a strong defense. They imagine it to be a high wall of safety, and that's a lie, folks. That right there is a lie. Your money is never going to be your wall. I remember God confronting me when I was still like in my early 20s, and he said to me, he said, if I decide to take my hand of protection off of your life, no amount of insurance, savings, lawyers, and bankers will be able to protect you. But if my hand is over you and protecting you, it doesn't matter. And I'm not against insurance. You need insurance. But I'm just saying God is the source of my hope. And God should be the source of your hope, not money. Amen. Money cannot protect you. Yeah, you could clap your hands here. Thank you. Steve Jobs knew that. He got to the end of his life, about 56 years old. He had billions of dollars, and he could not do nothing with it. And he said, I cannot take it with me. I'm actually going to read it to you just in a second here. But he says, command them to stop putting their hope in their money. Stop putting your hope in your money. So here's what I'm commanding you in a nice voice. Guys, stop putting your hope in your money. Okay, that was good, right? Yeah. Or creepy. Yeah. Rich people falsely believe that their money is an unscalable wall, Solomon said. They think that by accumulating wealth, they can create a wall of safety around themselves. They believe the more money I have, the bigger the wall of protection is going to get. So they start believing that money can make them untouchable, that money can make them invisible. That's what putting your hope in your wealth is. You think there's some magical number that once you get there, it will protect you from all the evils. It will protect your children. It will protect your grandchildren. It will protect your business. It will protect your home. It will protect whatever you're trying to bank account. That's what we start thinking secretly or subconsciously, not even secretly. But listen to me. The number that you're trying to get does not exist because it's always moving. And if you put your hope in your wealth and you can never get to the number, you will never be satisfied with your life. You will always be discontent. They asked Warren Buffett, how much money is enough? I think it's Warren Buffett. He said, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Let me ask you guys a question. Not a trick question. I just want you to answer it for yourself. How much money would you need to be secure and untouchable? How much money would you need to be secure and untouchable? You know the answer. Just a little bit more than I currently have. right? Just a little bit more. Oh, man. You hear people all the time who say, if I become rich, I'll be generous. Right? You hear this all the time. We know that's not true. But here's the thing. If you make $32,000 a year, you're already rich. So why aren't you generous? Thank you, Lord. Do you know why rich people are less generous? Because here's why rich people are less generous than poor people. Because poor people don't put their hope in their money. So when you ask them, hey, can you buy me a drink at the gas station? They're like, oh yeah, sure, no problem. Why? Because they know that that money is not going to protect them or be their safety net. You ask a rich person, can you buy me a drink? I'll buy it to you once, but not tomorrow. Right? It's easier for poor people to let go of their money, and because they don't make it their safety net. But rich people, we make it our safety net. That's why the more we have, the more it gets tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter. For example, if a country doesn't have any military weapons, like big, they have like Kalashnikov or AK-47s, you know, that's all they have with swords on top of them, you know, and bayonets, thank you. They're not going to put their hope in their military compared to United States. They have to bring something else. We have drones, baby. And they got big wingspan, and they got bombs underneath them that could pinpoint within inches. So it would be stupid for a country that has, you know, AK-47s with bayonets on them to put their hope in that, right? That's what he's saying. Stop. No amount of money is going to be enough. Steve Jobs found that out. He had billions. He just built a big yacht. Never used it. Never used that. Like, I don't know how many billion dollar it was, but he had money to spare. And when he was on his deathbed, he said money made him a twisted, wicked man that he was. Huh. How much time did he waste at work? How much time did I waste at work? You can never get your 20s back. You can never get your 30s back, 40s back, 50s back. You can never go fishing with your teenage kids again when they grow up. That's it. You can never get it back. So what, you have money? You can never get that back. And God says, that's what's twisting your mind is the money. Stop. Focus on the right thing. If you focus on me, I'm not going to make you poor. 1 Timothy 6:17. Look what he says. But to put their hope in God, who will make you poor. Take all of your money. Is that what it says? No, what does it say? Who richly? For our enjoyment. Does God want you to enjoy life? Yes. Yeah. And will He provide? Yeah. He will. But he says, focus on me, because when you focus on me, everything else falls into place. When you focus on money, you lose everything else. You lose your wife, you lose your kids, you lose your dog and cat, and you can lose your money. God says, I'm not against your money, I'm against your focus. You focus wrong. You focus on the wrong thing. Put your hope in this way, and this way I'll take care of. Put your hope in this way, you'll lose everything. My grandpa, and I don't know why this story has been stuck with me for years. He told me about this greedy American. You know, because when you live in Ukraine, you talk about Americans. When you live in America, you talk about Russians. Right? Those bad Russians. You know, every country you live, you always find a villain. And so my grandpa told me a story. I don't know where he came up with it. I was 8 years old. My grandpa has passed away. He went to be with the Lord, godly man. Was kind of like a pastor too in his small town. And he told me a story. He said there was this greedy man in America. He when America was just being developed, he said, he found out that you can buy land. And the way you buy is you pay the government or whoever owns that land a certain amount of money. It's a big amount of money. And he gives you a shovel. And he gives you a shovel and says, whatever you can, whatever you can post up will be yours. You just have to dig the holes every so many feet, 10 feet, 20 feet. And whatever you can, but you have to be backed by the sundown. And so this man was excited. He started digging holes and digging holes every 10, 20 feet. He started digging these holes. I don't know if it's a true story. Grandpa told me that. He was a prisoner of war in Germany. So, he was a cool guy. And he said, this man started posting, you know, and sun started going down. He didn't eat. He didn't drink. He didn't do anything. He was just so greedy. He wanted more land. And as the sun was going down, you would think that he would start coming back. But he said, I can get some of this river over here. I can get some of this forest over here. I can get some of this plain land so I can plant, you know, corn in here. I can get more land. And so instead of slowing down at the end and kind of coming around in a circle, guess what he did? He started doing more. And by the time he got to the owner, he was a little bit late, but he collapsed and died. And the owner of the land took the money and said he was not the first one who did that. That's what greed, and Grandpa said, that's what greed does. Don't be like that greedy American. And now I am American, so okay, don't be like that. And whenever I'm working hard, and I love, I'm a workaholic by nature. My dad just made me work when I was young, so I love working. I feel accomplished at the end of the day. But sometimes I work too much. Okay, and I have no more energy for my family. Just everything. The work could drain, especially ministry. Ministry could drain the life out of you. If I wasn't called, like I tell my children, if you're not called, don't do it. Just come to church, serve on Sunday, be an usher, be a kid's church, whatever. Do something, but don't do it. I've even asked God to release me. But it looks like I'm going to do life. Looks like it. But ministry could drain the life out of you because you're dealing with people. And people pull. And Grandpa told me, don't be greedy. And I sometimes work too much. And I said, I don't want to come home and die. Here's Bible says, Solomon says in the book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 5, I believe. He says God gives man wealth, unbelievable wealth. And then he doesn't give him opportunity to enjoy it. So he works, and never enjoys it. Why? Because that man put his, or woman has put their hope in their wealth for their happiness. And that's why they were never happy. You want to know the secret to happy life? Is putting our hope in God. Who richly provides for us to enjoy. How you like them apples? Oh my goodness. I have two statements to make right now. And I'm done. Tell me which one of these statements causes anxiety in your life, fear in your life. Statement number one. There is no God, no heaven or hell. When you die, lights off, it's over. Poof. Statement number two. You just lost all of your money, everything, your savings, your gold bars, your gold coins, everything. You're broke. Everything. Honestly. Which one is causing more stress in your life right now? You can't pay your bills. The first is coming. You can't pay your bills. You lost everything. The second one? Can I say it for everybody, the second one? But now imagine this. You went to a doctor and the doctor said you have 1 week to live. You're laying on your deathbed, attached to all of the machines, breathing machines, all kinds of machines, life support. Which one of those statements matters now? Which one are you going to put your hope in? Why? Because now you're asking question, is there a God? If he is there heaven or hell? If there is, which billions of people believe there is, they all can be wrong, but anyway. So now you start putting your hope in God. So let me just say it this way. If at the end, you're going to put your hope in God anyway, not money, why not put your hope in him in the middle? If you're a young person, why not put your hope in him in the beginning? If you're going to put your hope in him, not money anyway, why not do it right the first time? Clap your hands, somebody, for God who's teaching us this stuff. If you're going to trust God at the end, you'll have to. Why not do it in the beginning? I read something very interesting from one of the richest men. Can I read this to you? Yes. It's from Steve Jobs. Let me see if I can find it. Here's what Steve Jobs said. I have come to the pinnacle of success in business. In the eyes of others, my life has been a symbol of success. However, apart from work, I have little joy. Do you ever feel like that? Some people live for the weekend. You live for the week because that's the only joy you find is in your work. And in everything else you hate. You hate your life. Finally, my wealth is simply a fact to which I'm accustomed to. At this time, lying on my hospital bed and remembering all my life, I realized that all the accolades and riches of which I was once so proud of have become insignificant with my imminent death. In the dark, when I look at the green lights of the equipment for artificial respiration and feel the buzz of their mechanical sounds, I can feel the breath of my approaching death looming over me. Only now do I understand that once you accumulate enough money for the rest of your life, you have to pursue objectives that are not related to wealth. Finally, he realized it. It should be something more important. For example, stories of love, art, dreams of my childhood. No. Stop pursuing wealth. It can only make a person into a twisted being like me. Let me read that again. Stop pursuing wealth. It can only make a person into a twisted being just like me. God has made us one way. We can feel the love in the heart of each of us and not illusions built by fame or money like I made in my life. I cannot take them with me. And there's more, but you get the point. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Now, so is God against you being rich? Absolutely not. If God has blessed you with business opportunities, take them. You would be an unprofitable servant if you didn't. So if God given you opportunity to make $100,000 a year, take it. Now God says, be careful. Last verse, Timothy 6:18. And I'm done with that. Watch this. Command them again, the rich people, to do good. The reason God gave you a $100,000 job a year is so you can do more good, not less. Not buy a bigger boat, but do more. Command them. So here's my command to you guys from Apostle Paul, from the Spirit of God, to do good with your money, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. That's the command from God to you. Everybody 32, 4, and more. That's a command of God to you, because poor people, you're already doing it. But it's the 32 and more that God is speaking to this morning and saying, trust me. You can spend the money on yourself, or you can spend it to do something good that will impact the kingdom of God. See, Steve Jobs was right. He can't take it with him. An Apple phone will not do him any good in heaven. You know what matters in heaven? The things you did for God, the good deeds you did. Listen, some people do good deeds, but not for God. But what matters in heaven, the good deeds you did for God. The people we brought closer to Jesus. The money that we use to reach our community. The money that we will use in the future to plant other churches. That's our goal. You know, it's not just this church. God is going to multiply us. And so He has this big vision. And He has these amazing people being trained right now, so they can go out and do what God called them to do. But it takes money. And God says, That's to you. Don't be greedy. Be rich towards good deeds. When is the time to start being rich? Now. God says, don't wait till you make so much. Now is the time. Now, you would think the pastor would take an offering right now. No, I wouldn't. That would be abuse of power for me. I wouldn't do that. But I would ask you to be generous this week. I would ask you to be generous in your giving next week and week after that. Because the only antidote to greed is generosity. The only antidote to greed is generosity.